Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today I want to continue the subject of how Christians should dress. Now, we get into that subject in our study of Romans chapter 14, which is the great chapter on Christian liberty. And there specifically, Paul deals with the issues of diet and religious days, the observance of religious days. But the principle he lays down shows us how to apply these principles to all areas of life. And we have to figure out whether things fall into the category of essential or non-essential. And then once we have determined that, we need to know how to relate to those matters which are non-essential. There's no question how we relate to matters that are essential, but matters that are non-essential, then we have to work out our own position, our own practice, and then we also have to be willing to allow others to have differing opinions and practices without marring our love and our Christian fellowship. Now, in the area of Christian dress, the first principle that we discussed over the last couple of broadcasts is the importance of dressing for modesty. And there's no question that the Bible teaches this, though the problems come in when you get down to specific details. How long is long enough? How high is high enough? And so forth and so on. How loose is loose enough? And how tight is too tight? And there's no end to all of that. And some of that has got to fall into the category of Christian liberty and non-essential. But the overall principle has to fall into the category of essential. So here in the area of Christian dress, we've got both. Surely nobody would try to make a biblical case for nudity. We do have to wear clothes. That's essential. The Bible makes it clear that nakedness is not acceptable. It is essential that we cover our nakedness. But then we have to go on from there. And so we dealt with that on the broadcast the last couple of days, what to work out in this area of modesty and what are some of the principles to keep in mind. And the point is that we need to be mindful of our testimony, and we need to be mindful of what effect we're having upon others. And that's basically what is involved in the area of modesty. But we also have to recognize that there are changing standards of modesty that differ from culture to culture. And that's the thing that's so difficult for some people to handle, but that, in fact, is the case. And I've given you some examples of that on previous broadcasts. All you have to do is travel some internationally, talk to missionaries in various parts of the world, and you'll very quickly come to the conclusion that that is the case. Sometimes Westerners are quite amazed at what certain people consider modest and immodest in various third world countries, or particularly in more primitive tribal settings. You say, well, that's certainly not the standard. Well, that's where you begin with those folks. If they consider something to be immodest that we don't, are we going to insist that they change that? If they consider something to be modest that we don't, are we going to insist that they change that? Are we going to say, I'm sorry, by my Western eyes, that's immodest. But if the whole society doesn't consider it immodest, if it doesn't draw attention to itself in a sexual way, is it really important that we impose our Western perceptions on them, or do we find out what is modest and immodest in that society? It'll take a little longer to do that, and you'll have to be willing to listen and learn, but you can find out. Every society has the norms and perceptions that people understand, and all you have to do is go to a society, for example, and find out what an immoral woman wears in order to attract people, what a prostitute wears in order to attract people, to attract clients. Well, that obviously is immodest. It may not be anything that we would consider to be immodest. But for a Christian woman to wear what a prostitute wears to attract clients would be scandalous, wouldn't it? Would it be totally inappropriate and immodest in that culture, even though to our Western eyes it might seem to be entirely modest because we're not looking at it through their eyes. You understand what I'm talking about? So these things do change from place to place, and so the details change, but the general principles don't. We need to be modest. We need to be shamed by that which is shameful, which is considered to be shameful by the society in which we live. We need to recognize whatever it is that arouses lustful thoughts in the eyes of men in the culture in which we live and avoid that. I heard on the radio recently, I forget what it was, I remember what station it was, but I can't remember the exact program, but it asked the question if a woman were surprised taking a shower, in the shower, were unexpectedly surprised in this country, what would she cover? I don't know how important that is, but it was interesting that there were differences. In one country, she would cover her face. In another country, she would cover her knees, immediately throw her hands over her knees. He said, that's crazy. I mean, you probably don't have enough hands to cover everything that needs to be covered, but those aren't the things that need to be covered. In that culture, they were. So for us to fail to recognize that there are differences from country to country, culture to culture, century to century, is to be very, what should I say, to be very dull, to be very stupid, really, is what it really boils down to be very proud and unteachable. And if we really want to apply the biblical principles properly and thoughtfully and not be turned into Pharisees that are going to impose our own particular rules on top of Scripture that aren't to be found in Scripture, but we're going to mandate our rules on top of Scripture. If we don't want to be that way, then we're going to have to think these things through thoughtfully. So number one, principle number one, dressing for modesty. That's important. I hope you understand, even though in some of what I've said here, I've tried to debunk some improper concepts. Nevertheless, I'm strongly emphasizing the importance of dressing for modesty. Christians dress modestly. Christians dress modestly according to the perceptions and understandings of the culture in which they live. They don't want to draw attention to themselves in a sexually suggestive way. Principle number two, Christians should dress for distinction. Distinction, what do you mean by that? Distinction between male and female. That's a clear biblical principle too, but one that is not emphasized nearly as often. But the Bible not only talks about the importance of dressing for modesty, but it also talks about the importance of dressing for distinction. Now, first of all, we have to agree that there is a God-given distinction between male and female. And I hope I don't have to prove that, but let me reinforce that. That's true. How do we know? Because that's what God did in the very beginning. At the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. That was God's original creation, God's original design, God's original distinction. Therefore, it is a basic distinction. When you go about erasing the distinction between male and female, you are deliberately effacing what God created. You are deliberately defying what God created, as opposed to, let me give you a contrast so you can understand what I'm talking about, as opposed to insisting upon maintaining distinctions between races, which is not a basic distinction that God made in the beginning. In the Garden of Eden, God didn't make a white Adam, a black Adam, a yellow Adam, a red Adam, a white Eve, a black Eve, a yellow Eve, a red Eve. Did he? No, he didn't. Now, that's a big subject, and I realize that I don't have time to follow that one through. That's not the subject that I'm dealing with today, but I want to show you the difference. Some distinctions are basic to God's original design and must not be defied. Other distinctions are incidental. Other distinctions are developmental. Other distinctions, like the racial distinction, is simply a matter of what has developed over time from the original gene pool that God created in Adam and Eve to begin with. What color were Adam and Eve? Well, Westerners, I'm sure, always picture them as being white Westerners in the way they look. We don't know. They might have been black. They might have been yellow. We don't know. All we know is that the genetic variations that we find in the human race today all came from the bodies of Adam and Eve. All of those variations were in them in the beginning. Adam and Eve are the father and mother of us all, no matter what race we are, no matter what color we are. I heard on the radio the other day, in a British broadcasting news commentary, that someone in England has now determined by a genetic study that everybody in the human on Earth came from the same human pair, and that that human pair lived not more than 150,000 years ago. Now, this is what a genetic scientist is saying, not a Christian, not a preacher, but a genetic scientist in England. And he has come up with what is essentially the same thing that the Bible teaches, that everybody in the human race descended from the same human pair. And it hasn't been all that long ago. Certainly wasn't millions and millions of years ago. Now, that's what the Bible indicates. That's apparently now what science is finally confirming. So, race is not a God-mandated distinction. When you try to impose and enforce and maintain that particular distinction, you're not doing anything to uphold what God has done. But when you erase the male-female distinction, then you are defying what God created from the very beginning. Male-female distinction is vitally important to God, and therefore it ought to be vitally important to us. And so, therefore, it's going to have overtones in the way that we dress. And I'll have to show you more about that on the broadcast tomorrow. I hope you'll join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.